Hello.
Hello.
How are you? This is Cleveland.
Hey, Cleveland, it's Darlene. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. I emailed David this week, our instructor, in reference to the course and just some perspectives about it, and I told him that I agreed with you, that I find myself reading and rereading because the information and knowledge is so in-depth.
Yeah, I'm doing that too, reading and reading and reading.
Yeah, and I mean, tonight's the last class, right?
Yes.
And I just said there's a lot of information for only four classes. It really is.
Yes, it is. That's a lot to take in for four classes for an hour, you know.
Yeah.
So my website will be up soon, and I'll be able to send it to you.
Oh, good. Did you meet Saturday?
Say that again?
I think, didn't you say you were going to meet with your web designer on Saturday?
Yes, I met with her on Saturday, and I took a look at it. And it looks pretty good. It's going to take some tweaking, but I want you to look at it and tell me what you think.
Yeah, and probably Marlene, she'd be a good one to look at it, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just starting to get involved with my job at Goodwill with job coaching, and I really like it. Today I met one of my former colleagues at an office job that I was doing previously, and he said to me tonight, "You look so much better since you've been in your new job. It must be really agreeing with you."
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, when we're placed in what our heart desires, it really reflects on us more than I think we realize sometimes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that because I feel the same way about coaching. I feel so different. And I'm really looking forward to getting into it and learning as much as I can and doing a good job.
Yeah, well, you have an awesome niche.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really have an awesome niche. I was doing some home health care. I was doing home health care for a while, and one of my friends that was doing it with me, she's a female, but she's a retired deputy. She does home health care for veterans.
Oh, okay.
And well, she's from...
The early birds. Don't let me interrupt good gossip.
Okay, Dave.
go ahead.
Real quickly, as I was saying, she's a retired sheriff, and she does home health care for the veterans, and we were talking about coaching veterans, and I was telling her about you, Cleveland, and what you're doing and your aspirations and kind of some of your dreams of what you want to do and the changes you want to make in life, and she was saying you have an awesome niche, and it's just so necessary. Coaching is so necessary in that niche. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for your thoughts and feedback. It sounds like with her being the ex-sheriff, you better not mess around. She'll tell you exactly what you need.
Yeah, she does.
I want to respond to a couple of questions, several questions actually, and then see what kind of thoughts you have, and especially with this being our last seminar. A couple of questions are about the application beyond individual coaching for companies or for groups. And certainly I didn't talk about marketing during this application at all. It was just really to enhance coaching skills and applying mind and brain sciences to strategic coaching. Even though I didn't address marketing, it applies certainly individually or organizationally. Remember the very first, at the beginning of the first seminar, I mentioned a couple of things just to be aware of how this is applicable to any business interested in achieving reduced medical claims, lower stress, reduce absenteeism, improve morale, improve retention rates, and to generate overall savings to the organization. So that means, to begin with, that this would be an especially interesting approach for companies or organizations that are self-insured. But think about the natural gatekeepers for hiring a wellness coach if you're an external coach or if you want to become part of an organization to be paid by the organization. HR heads and groups, human resources, employee assistance programs, healthcare insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, small business owners, school systems, government agencies. Think about the natural affiliates that you have that would have a portal to a population that you may not know where, if you do co-presentations or joint ventures or something just in collaboration, you know, fitness trainers and clubs, nutritionists, holistic care providers, healthcare providers, consortiums of wellness practitioners. It would just require thinking about it in a different way if you want to look at something beyond individual coaching. So I hope that's helpful, and if anybody has any ideas or any applications that you've tried that's worked, please share them for the group. Anybody have any other ideas or things that have worked? Let me respond to one other set of questions. The last question more specifically was Kevin, but a number of you have asked about the licensed specialty certification training that I do for New Life Story Wellness Coaches. Rather than spend time, because I don't really want to, I don't feel comfortable trying to upsell it here, but I will be happy to send you information about it and a website that describes it fully. It's licensed specialty certification, meaning that you have the ability to use the licensed material to co-brand it, to you have a registry for individual and corporate referrals, continue education with mentor groups, that sort of thing. There is the people who attend basically are people who I individually invite from people I know because I only train a small number per year. And the next training is March 6th. I will send you a link to this that will fully describe it and describe what goes into that and what some of the benefits are. I spend a good deal of time supporting the people who do the training. So I'll send that to those of you who are interested rather than spending any more time here, if okay. That's okay with you. And let's open it up for questions or comments or anything about the material that would be helpful for us to discuss before looking at the final two steps of the roadmap. Has this, have you gotten what you had hoped so far? You're 75% as smart as you're going to be. Have you gotten what you had hoped and what you expected thus far? We're going to talk about sort of bringing it together in a particular way during this seminar. But what's your thought? Your response? Anyone?
Yeah, David.
Good. I was getting lonely. Go ahead there.
This is Arlene. My question is, why is this only a 4-week course?
I didn't think anybody wanted to put up with me longer than that. Well, this is one of many of the teleseminars through Coach Training Alliance that are continuing education that are – can I get a management of background noise? Mute if you're not speaking, just so that there's no – and rustling of paper. I can always put us on lecture mode, but I'd rather not. It's one of a number of introductions that would hopefully enhance skill and your work as professional coaches. Hopefully it's an introduction. It will let you know about some things that you want to specialize and develop a niche about what you may want to pursue. I put us in lecture mode because of the background noise. There are a number of courses that Coach Training Alliance does with some other faculty even. And I have one coming up in March on new money story. And it's an applicant. These are the two areas I specifically focus on in terms of developing ways to do coaching with specific aspects of someone's experience. So new money story, I'm a little biased, but I highly recommend it, and I really like the presenter. So that's in March, and you can see that through the Coach Training Alliance. And there are some other terrific people who do courses throughout the year. Okay, we're in open mic mode here, so be sure that you manage background noise. Does that, I know that's not a any, you know, really complete answer to your question.
Yeah.
But that's why I press so much into the four, I would much prefer a seminar format where you kind of talk back and forth, but there's so much information I want to give you.
Yeah.
And condense that's why I added the workbook so that you could do exercises and get more information about that.
I see.
And that's the workbook I'm talking about with doing the licensed specialty certification training, that you can use that workbook, co-brand it with your name on the cover and that sort of thing. So, I mean, that will all be explained, though. So,
okay, I'm sorry, David, you're going to send us that information then?
Yeah, I'll send you the website for that.
Okay.
Are there other questions, other things that might be helpful for us to talk about? If not, I'll move into the material, and I'll be sure that I save some time at the end, so hold on to any comments or thoughts or questions that you have or things that you want to be sure that I cover before we stop today. Okay, we're going to talk about steps 6 and 7, how to address new wellness experiences and identity. We've discussed the power of story and the concept of creating your own wellness story. We've looked together at how different this notion of creating your story is from fitting in someone else's protocol, from adding a diet plan or an exercise program to what you do. We've already discussed the first 5 steps in the roadmap: recognize authorship, own your story, assess the plot and storylines, decide what to change, and to map changes. Now, again, these seven steps are just the deconstruction of the process of change. The 7 steps to write a new story or revise one in current time and to make it last. That's particularly step 7 that we're going to talk about. This is what's going to make it last rather than just change that someone then reverts back to. So step 6, author new experiences. We trust our stories. They're our reality. Remember, our clients don't see their experience as a story. It's just the way things are. When our stories and our behaviors don't fit, we experience disharmony. So we have to change one or the other to restore a sense of balance. Sometimes we revise our stories. Sometimes we simply change the way we see reality. Now, we've considered if your wellness story doesn't allow you to do certain things. If your story is that you're a procrastinator, it may disallow you from finishing early if you orchestrate that in the current moment. If your story says you don't know how to work out, you'll live out this assumption. So, at first, the idea of change will create excitement. Then, as it's on the cusp of action, anxiety. Then expansion, and finally, mastery. So here are the 12 AAA principles of change to create a new story. The three A's, awareness, acceptance, and action. Number one, you're writing your own story. Is it working? So for each component, what are the results? Honestly assess each of these storylines with the question, is it working? And make that a yes or no. Your personal wellness story, mind, body, spirit. Your business career story. Your relationship story. Your money story. When I ask people what they most look forward to and what they're most afraid of for the next chapters of their lives, they often respond with vague dreams, yet specific fears. The top of the lists of long-term concerns are two, health and money. A not-so-secret to success is that you have to pay in full for that success. So you might as well find out what the price is, pay it in full, pay it as soon as possible, and then enjoy the benefits of success. The price is always some form of energy, whether that energy is money, time, work, or experience. If you get something for which you haven't provided value or benefit, you'll still have to pay in some way. For example, if you incur debt in order to purchase something before you've earned the money, you simply end up paying more for it. And here's another non-secret. People who truly enjoy getting what they want are those who enjoy paying the price. I'm doing it right now. I love this. I think you're each going to make such a difference in so many lives. That makes it easy to pay, and it doesn't even seem like a price. It's a passion. So the price is whatever you need to give in order to generate exactly what you want. Number two, you're writing your own story. It takes just as much energy to create any belief in your story, positive or negative, based on past, present, future, adaptive or maladaptive, the same energy. The belief of scarcity takes just as much energy as abundance. You generate the energy and give power to your story. Now, here's the subtle but crucial distinction. You give specific power to your story, and it assumes its own momentum. Remember, you're not the subject of that process. You're the creator of it. So here's a short list of some results when you focus on what you don't want. Fear, anxiety, anger, confusion, annoyance, helplessness, guilt. Three, you're writing your own story. Decide what you want. The primary reason people don't get what they want is they're not quite sure what they want. Here's a neuroscience and law of attraction question. How does the brain work like a travel agent? First two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? A goal is like MapQuest. You program in where you want to go, you make a map, and then determine the time. So a caveat here, to know what not to do is at least as important as knowing what to do. You may not always know what the next right thing is, but you can almost always know what it isn't. What you resist, you draw toward you. Resistance is an engagement. It's sort of like saying anger is as passionate an attachment as love. And most suffering is the result of resisting what already is. People resist going to the doctor, but they aren't afraid of doctors. They're afraid their denial is going to be confronted. Four, you're writing your own story. Do you have specific, measurable goals? In a Harvard study begun in the mid-1950s, 10 to 15% of the Harvard Business School graduates had a specific vision and goals for their life and business. 5 decades later, those 10 to 15% had 90% of the assets of the entire group. And a subsequent longitudinal study of Dartmouth graduates from college found even more compelling reasons. 97% of let me say that a different way. 3% of the group had specific goals for business. Now, that 3% ended up with 97% of the assets of the group. Kind of interesting math. Motivation increases as soon as you're clear about the goal and the payoff. Focus enhances when you have a specific plan and strategy. It's estimated that 10% of people, about, have measurable goals. Now, 100% of people have good ideas, at least some. The difference between a good idea and a goal, measurement and time, where and when, the travel agent questions. Here's a good idea. I'd like to lose weight. Here's a goal. I will reach 185 pounds by the running of the Boston Marathon April of this year. Here's a good idea. I want to save more money for retirement. Here's a goal. I will pay myself by setting up an automatic transfer of X amount to my retirement fund the first day of each month. A good decision that you only have to make once. Then write a breakthrough goal, something that would stretch you, bring incredible opportunities, move you to a higher level, quantum leap. Getting a book on the New York Times bestseller list, spending every March skiing in Steamboat Springs, and every August riding on the coast of Maine. But you'll have to substitute your own goals there. Then reread your goals, regular and breakthrough, twice a day, when you wake up, when you go to bed. The fifth AAA principle of change. You're writing your own story. Small changes lead to big changes. Issues that seem overwhelmingly large and insurmountable can be approached by looking at the simplicity of the issue to specify a step to take for progress. For example, you feel overwhelmed at work with the amount of tasks. Identify one specific thing that you can do in the next 24 hours that'll give you some traction. To focus on a specific, simple action can create a sense of effectiveness and initiates a model of mastery. Think how often you do that with your clients. Terry Fox started the Marathon of Hope. It's a cross-Canada run of 3,339 miles. Since he had an artificial leg, his running style was a shuffle and a hop. He managed to average 24 miles a day, completed the run in 143 days. Immediately after the race, he was interviewed and asked, how did he keep himself going when he was exhausted and knew he still had thousands of miles ahead? His response? I just kept running to the next telephone pole. So he knew where the telephone poles were going. He had a goal in mind, but he shrank the change to the next step, the next telephone poles. There's always something you can focus on. Here's one more example. During my specialty training in psychiatry many years ago, one of my first-year supervisors had a puzzling picture on the wall. It was a photograph in which everything seemed curiously out of focus. As I met with him each week, I glanced at the photograph. Finally, toward the end of the year, I mustered up enough courage and I asked him about it. He said, look carefully, Dave, what do you see? Well, I walked over to the photograph to get a closer look. Closer didn't help. It still seemed out of focus. I saw no particular aesthetic value. My experience and considerable interest in photography didn't help. I said, Steve, the only thing I notice is there's only one branch of one tree in focus in the entire picture. Well, he nodded. He said, that's why I have it hanging there. It's my reminder that while things may seem confusing and blurry, there's always at least one thing that you can have in focus and see clearly, which is why he was a great supervisor for first-year residents. Six, you're writing your own story. Be consistent in the pursuit of your goals. Remember, it takes 25 to 30 days to etch a new pathway for simple kinds of responses or behaviors in your brain to make it permanent. Write your new story consistently for it to become the default mode. This is important, and there are some more complex behaviors that will take longer, but the good news there is you can self-correct and you don't have to start over at day one. Seven, you're writing your own story. The benefit of doing more of what's working and less of what isn't will become evident and self-perpetuating. Now, this is pretty simple. Good parents have known this for centuries, but sometimes It takes human science and cognitive research to remind us of the opposite, of the obvious, rather. We can foster change by conscious practices and effective tools. An infinite sea of new patterns and possibilities can be created to further new goals. The caveat, you have to take action to diminish pre-programmed responses to write new script for new experiences. In other words, a new story has to replace the old story. And the best way to end an old story is to have a new one to be in entirely. Now, there are no shortcuts since long-term change requires consistent practice, repetition, to groove new neuronal pathways and establish new neural networks. But there are effective and efficient methods to accelerate optimum change and ensure transformation. That's the system that we're talking about now, the roadmap system. 8, you're writing your own story. Ask for feedback. To your spouse or partner, ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate the quality of our relationship. If you do that, you better be ready for direct feedback because you'll learn what you can address. To your employees or colleagues, on a scale of 1 to 10, how am I doing? And then, how can I get to 10? A tribe in southern Africa called the Babimba has an interesting practice. When they hear a story of a person doing something wrong, something that destroys the social net of their tight community, all work in the village halts. The people gather around the offender and one by one recite all that that person has done right in his life. Good deeds, responsible behavior, thoughtful acts. This honest feedback on misbehavior has a time-honored consequence to allow the person to reclaim the better part of himself. He remembers who he is and why he is important to the life of the village. This may have been an original 360-degree feedback. Even without this kind of social network and feedback, we can relax and remember our way back into alignment with our true selves, getting grounded and centered to reconnect with our true essence. So find people who already successfully do what you want to do and get what you want. Research what they do in order to do your own version of it. It has to be your story. Ask, learn, question, make it your story. Guess who said this? It's not that I'm so smart. It's that I stay with problems longer. That was Albert Einstein. An interesting statistic. After giving a complete presentation about the benefits of their service or product, more than 60% of seasoned salespeople didn't ask for the order. How to ask is a crucial factor. Ask clearly, confidently, sincerely. Virginia Satir, the well-known family therapist, was hired by the Michigan State Department of Social Services to submit a proposal on how to restructure the Department of Social Services to better serve the client population. 60 days later, she provided the department with a 150-page report. They responded in two ways. This is the most amazing report, and how did you come up with all these brilliant ideas? She said, well, I just asked the social workers in your department what it would take for the system to work better. Now, as a kind of sidebar here, you may have noticed that each of these AAA principles of change to author a new story begins the same way. You're writing your own story. That's the first four steps of the roadmap. Recognize, observe, assess, decide, compressed into the shorthand of awareness and acceptance. The third A, these 12 action steps. 9, you're writing your own story. Get success insurance instead of waiting for good luck. Luck is defined as probability taken personally, or my favorite, narcissism meets chance. A review on research for goal setting is on page 3.5 of your workbook. It's a study initiated by Marshall Goldsmith, the guy that really was one of the fathers of executive coaching in this country, to look at what are the factors that cause people to give up on achieving their goals. and these are the premier factors. Now, if you reframe that, why people give up on goals and how effective goal setting can help ensure long-term achievement, those are success insurance principles. 10, you're writing your own story. Take a chance. You didn't have a New York Times bestseller before you sent your manuscript to an agent. If you get rejected, you still don't. What do you got to lose? What's the problem? You spent your whole life not having a New York Times bestseller. A young chiropractor just out of professional school wanted to open a practice in Carmel, California. He was told he'd never make it. There's already one chiropractor for every 8 people in Carmel. He went to 12,500 homes, talked to 6,500 people. He asked 3 questions. Which location should I open my office, the north or west side of town? Should I have extra office hours from 7 to 9 in the morning or 5 to 7 in the afternoon? And which newspaper should I send my announcement of opening a practice to? And he added as he was leaving, when I have an open house party, would you like an invitation? In his first month, he took in $72,500. In his first year, he netted over $1 million. 11, you're writing your own story. It's never too late to start. So don't let conventional wisdom or limiting assumptions ghostwrite your story. Cliff Beyond was a 61-year-old Australian sheep herder. He heard about a cross-country race from Sydney to Melbourne and decided to enter. He showed up in Oshkosh overalls and work boots. The officials looked at him like he was crazy. They said, this is a race of over 800 kilos. The most seasoned runners in the world compete. Do you have any running experience and equipment? And he said, yeah, I run after my sheep every day, and I got these boots and this baseball cap. When the race began, the world-class runners took off as they had trained to begin. Cliff started shuffling along in his boots. You're supposed to run 18 hours and sleep 6, but nobody told Cliff this. And when he, you know, shuffled along, people were asleep. They couldn't tell him what he wasn't supposed to keep running. He just shuffled along for 3.5 days. He cut 5.5 hours off the world record. We each have beliefs that limit us. Find the story that will empower you and start believing that. If there were no barriers, what would your ideal life be? And number 12, you're writing your own story. Everything is okay in the end. If it's not okay, it's not the end. For tens of thousands of years before books and computers, we transmitted our essence and principles by story. Story linked to the past, organized the present, and illuminated the future. Story allowed us to connect with each other's humanity in the paths crossed on the long journeys out of Africa to populate the rest of the world. Then the anatomy and physiology of our brains grew by putting thoughts and feelings into stories. Stories informed, instructed, inspired, governed, organized. Story is the most powerful way humans communicate. Stories give birth to possibilities. Stories are a way that we resonate with our earlier selves, connect with others, and create a roadmap to proceed. Your story is yourself, your life, and what will survive you. At some point in the distant future, all that will be left of you, all that will survive you, is your story. Be sure to get it right. Write it the way you want to. Step 7, program new identity to incorporate and sustain the changes. And here's a reminder of what we talked about before to revisit the notion of operating systems. Remember I mentioned that neuroscientists have estimated that 90 to 95% of our operating systems are really unconscious. So behavioral patterns, belief systems that get downloaded, especially early on from parents, from society, and remain in some ways, operate without observation or awareness directly. And we often, like the anthropologist each of them, one with the gun and one without the gun, we create the reality that fits our belief system, so it validates it. We rarely ever observe these behavior patterns and beliefs unless they come into focus in some way that crystallizes awareness. So you may get clients referred to you because they are, well, let me give you an example. Someone just recently referred someone from the executive suite, this person and another executive at the very top of their company were having such trouble that it was kind of a toss-up who was going to leave first. And the person who was referred to me was the most annoying of the two, so they referred him to me. So he began with his story, and guess what? He began annoying me, because this is exactly what his best job was, of showing me what it's like to be him. So he recreated the same attachment pattern, the same behavior and emotional pattern with me without even being aware of it. So the challenge was to create a working alliance with him so we could address this process that was not even conscious for him, except in the results that just didn't seem to work and created frustration in him and in others. And remember, again, we talked about that beliefs, facts, ideas are anatomical realities in the brain. So that means that we create two stories simultaneously. The surface story, that's what we're conscious of. This is what I want from life. These are my aspirations. This is what I really want to do for myself, for my business. At the same time, an unconscious story can ghostwrite behaviors, sometimes in a very different direction. And here's how that can sound. I can't get what I want. The system keeps me from getting what I need. I don't have what it takes. So compromises occur when the two stories are written simultaneously. The example I gave before was I want to generate more income and create wealth. But then there's a belief that's not even quite conscious that may say, well, I don't think I really have what it takes. Or, you know, this would take so much effort, so much time away from my family that I don't know about that. Or what if I give it everything I've got and still don't quite make it? I'd be really embarrassed and really disappointed then. Or another simple example, I want to claim my freedom and become totally my own person, but the shadow story, my partner acts like I'm taking it away from him or her when I become self-sufficient. So look at your mission statement. There's a section in the workbook, an exercise about a mission statement. And a mission statement contains four elements: ideals, purpose, strategies, and goals. Look at that for yourself. Create a personal mission statement and create a wellness mission statement, your wellness story. Something I want to just touch on briefly. We talked last time about mastering states of mind, and this is about state of mind patterns. And this is something you'll see in working with your clients simply because it's human nature. A new pattern of behavior can occur for a sustained period of time. Then there can be an opposing mindset or a resorting to the default mode. Someone who's overweight plans a weight loss program and achieves an ideal body weight, 30 pounds lighter. As soon as this target is reached, the nutritional plan is relaxed and the weight gain occurs back to where the person was before. Then the diet's reinstated, so it goes back and forth. Or an independent business person carves out a set number of hours each week to do marketing. This plan, meticulously adhered to, results in successful business, but then it's relaxed, and marketing effort lapses, business wanes. Now, in each of these situations, someone has specific motivated attempts and a plan But what happens that they resort back to their default mode? Well, this is the most important step of the roadmap system and the whole process. Program new identity. Let me say it in a very simple way. The most powerful force of the human psyche is to return to our core identity. So no matter what changes someone makes, unless these aspects are addressed in terms of helping someone revise the basic model that they operate on and transform their sense of identity, then they'll revert back. This is what makes change permanent. This is what makes change incorporated into revising brain hardware and mind software. Remember, I gave the example of if someone loses weight and then gains it back, that unless they address their software, their body image in their mind, which is a little bit of hardware too, unless they revise that core identity of body image, then they're going to gain it back. So this is what's important throughout an engagement with someone. When someone, for example, goes through a process of beginning change and has a trepidation or anxiety or uncertainty, then this is an ideal opportunity to help them begin to reframe this, not as an indication, as in an old, not to be read as in an old model where anxiety equals danger, better head for cover, or head to the mall, and forget about it. But this is an opportunity to look at, this is an understandable experience in doing something new because you don't know how it's going to turn out. This is literally, as we've discussed, leaving the superhighway of the familiar in your brain and trying out a new trail or pathway that's not familiar, that's not predetermined, so you're making it up as you go. So if this anxiety or trepidation is reframed as validation of moving ahead, and this is a component of one's identity that's transformed along with the behavior, then that's a model that gets internalized. Similarly, if someone describes, for example, a set of behaviors as if it were an identity, well, I'm just a procrastinator, then immediately I would challenge that, because if someone identifies a set of behaviors, simply a collection of repetitions that we call habit, then it makes it harder to change, rather than looking at it as whatever we think and feel and experience, each moment is what you create. And that's a choice. That's part of choice architecture. If you create the same thing, that can be a choice. If you create something different, it may feel uncomfortable, but that's a choice too. So this is how we can help someone and be with someone in the process of this change and transformation. So here are some of the most frequent mistakes made in writing a new story. And think about it as a wellness story. One, not knowing that you don't know. How can people know that they don't know something? We believe we know, which can blind us to our ignorance. This, in turn, causes us to be blind to signs that we may be mistaken. So to know to ask is half the answer. So someone has already begun this process. If they engage you or even question what you may do together in mentor coaching. Two, stopping at the first right answer. When we're solving problems or writing a new story, we may stop at the first reasonable action. Now, this can be a correct strategy, but it can also stop us from considering other right answers. other strategies that could be even more effective. So we may want to ask, and then what, or what else? Now, I'm going to introduce number three here with a brief quiz. Five frogs sat on a log. They all considered their options. Four, though, planned their strategy and then decided they would jump off. So how many frogs were left on the log? Well, five, because they only planned and decided. They didn't commit to act. Number three is procrastination. Now, I'm talking about some of the broad themes here, the big patterns. Putting off an exercise program, not paying yourself first, not saving for emergencies, not saving for retirement, taking care of others but not yourself. Most of us live our lives as though there were an unlimited amount of time left. We may have little sense of urgency that can contribute to a lack of focus. When the two-minute warning sounds in football, a team can sometimes achieve more in the final 2 minutes than they did in the previous 28. Now, that applies to everybody but the Texans, of course, but stick with me here. This imminent deadline, a limited, finite amount of time to accomplish goals, focuses concentration and increases efforts. In our lives, we only rarely have a two-minute warning. We play as if the notion of finite time is an abstraction, something we acknowledge but may not really internalize. Life is finite. It's just that the game clock is invisible. Four, inefficient time management. Managing energy is a key to success. This begins with knowing your strengths, your limitations, your biorhythms, when you perform best, to know how to enter and exit different states of mind, which state works best for a particular task. Maybe cluster activities that require the same state of mind, like doing all errands together instead of doing an errand or two, working with a client, doing another errand or two. Identify what depletes your energy, toxic people or situations, negative mindset, lack of focus, and what enhances your energy, anticipation, creativity, pleasure, meditation, prayer. Five, ambiguity. If you're unclear about what options are available and don't know what it would be like to pursue them since you haven't done it before, this uncertainty can add to decision paralysis. What looks like resistance for yourself or for a client may simply be a lack of clarity. People are likely to change, more likely to change, when new behavior is crystal clear, specific, finite. Eat a healthy diet. Eating a healthier diet. Vague and abstract. Save for the future. That's limitless. Where to begin? When you want to affect change, help someone script specific behaviors, the next step. All you have to do is go to the next telephone pole. Six, too many choices. There have been a number of studies that have shown how when people have too many choices, they end up not choosing at all. They default to the avoidance mode or putting it off. Studies show how an HR department can provide too many choices in someone creating options for retirement. The extra options backfire, leading to decision paralysis. For every 10 options offered, the employee's rate of participation goes down by 2%. At some point, choice debilitates rather than liberates, and someone retreats to the default mode of not making the choice. So think about that when you're offering options of your services or of products, to not offer certainly more than three, and be sure the one that you really would highly recommend is in the middle, because over 80% of people are going to choose the one in the middle. Or simply what I do when I have a discussion with someone is I make a specific recommendation, just like anybody going to, you know, an attorney, a physician, a financial professional, a CPA. We talk and I make a recommendation and describe what that would involve. Seven, lack of persistence. The truly challenging, courageous part of change is not the initial decision or the initiation of a new order of things. It's staying the course. Ross Perot, a fellow Texan, if you can bear with me, said it this way. Most people give up when they're about to achieve success. They quit on the one-yard line. 8, not following success trails. And we talked about that earlier. So, now, we've talked about a wellness story from the perspective of cells, mind, brain, and story. Now, a final word about genes. Epigenetics is the study of the ways in which our experiences change the ways genes operate. Our experiences can actually program how active our genes are. There's a difference between having a gene and that gene expressing its signature proteins to have a particular effect. We have more than 30,000 genes. Some express themselves constantly, some only at a particular time in life, some only for a certain organ of the body, some only at certain behavioral or emotional prompts. We now know that our genes and our environment, including our behavior, are reliant on each other. This is the study of epigenetics. What we do as well as what we eat can turn genes on or off. Genes do not operate independently of their environment, internal and external. Our nutrition, our emotions, our social interactions, all are intersubjective, all interact. For example, when you eat broccoli, broccoli contains a form of B6 which prompts a specific enzyme to produce the amino acid L-tryptophan, which contributes to synthesize dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that, among other things, stabilizes mood. So, a final word here. Your true story. The residual outcome of your past thoughts, feelings, and actions are not who you are. What you have done with your body and eating may not be your true body self. Who you are is what you're creating this moment. Write your genuine life story, your informed wellness story. Write the truest story possible. One final story. A small boy approached Walt Disney and asked him, "How can I be like you one day?" And Disney took this question very seriously, and he thought for a moment, and he held up his finger to be sure the little boy knew he was thinking that he was going to respond. And Disney finally said 4 words. Think, believe, dream, dare. And again, remember, the most important lesson from everything I've said during our time together, just keep going to the next telephone pole. Now, I'm going to put us on discussion mode, but I want you to hear it's been a real privilege to work with you these 4 seminars. I've learned, too. Thank you so much for your input, your ideas, and your questions, your energy and your presence especially, and I hope we'll have opportunities to cross paths and collaborate again. So hold on. We're going to have a discussion, and let me ask you to manage the background noise, *6 to mute, and then coming off of *6 to unmute, and then we'll talk. Okay, your thoughts, questions? Anything else you'd like to talk about? Or talk about more from what we've discussed? Now, I could not have been that clear that everybody is clear and has no questions or clarifications. Anything? Well, I want to emphasize to you, if you have questions, if you have comments, please send them to me. I'll be happy to respond. And if there's any way that I can be of help to you or to further elaborate about anything we've talked about, let me know. Thank you very, very much, It's been a privilege to do this with you, and I truly hope our paths cross again. Let me hear from you. Bye now. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.